Good morning, everyone. I hope everybody can hear me. Yes? All the ones in the back as well? Yes? Okay, so I was asked to speak about the power of praise. So I guess we all know what power means. And do we all know what praise means? What does it mean to each one of us? Some of us, it's a song that we hear, and there are different bands and different artists out there. To some of us, it's the classic old hymns. To some of us, it's something we say to God every day while we're driving to our work, driving to the city. But let's go and look at the meaning of praise, especially in the Psalms, because we're touching the Psalms these last few weeks. And in order to understand what the word praise means in the Bible, we're going to look at the different Hebrew words in order to understand better what it meant in that context. So one of the words that means praise in Hebrew, I'm not pronouncing this right because I don't speak Hebrew. It's halal, and it means to shine, to boast, or to celebrate. And there's a word that we use in English that's very familiar, connected to this word, and that's hallelujah. Hallelujah. So can we all say it together? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And then there's another word that is also used in Hebrew. It's called yada, and it has to do with the use of hands, to extend our hands in worship. And there's another word, it's toda, and it's extend hands in adoration or giving thanks or giving an offering. Another word that maybe is more related to what we understand as praise, it's zamar, and that means to play musical instruments, to make music, to celebrate in songs. And one of the psalms that uses this word is Psalm 108, verse 1. It says, "My heart is steadfast, O God, I will sing and make melody with all my being." Other translations use the word praise here, so I will sing and give praise, which also refers to making music, singing a song, celebrate in song. Another word is shada, and it's to address in a loud tone. So we understand that worship is not something only that we keep inside ourselves, but because it has to do with celebration, we express ourselves, we sing, we use our voices, we use music, we use instruments. And if we look at Psalm 150, it has a lot of different musical instruments. It mentions a lot of loud musical instruments like cymbals. And so this, if we understand correctly, praise has to do with something that is loud. It's not something that we just keep inside ourselves, but we express it to God. We use our hands, we may clap, we may sing, we may shout like we did this morning. And if we look at the Greek words, we have a few words that are also been have also been used in the New Testament. And one is hymneo, and it means to sing, literally it means to sing a religious ode. But in context, it means to sing or to celebrate God in songs. And there's another one, it's called salo. And this means to make melody or to sing songs. And this morning we were singing this beautiful song. I really love this song, and it's called Sing a Song of Celebration, because it seems to have all the different words and meaning that we've just spoken about. Sing a song of celebration, lift up your hands and shout for joy. And this is I felt it was so appropriate to sing that song this morning. And, well, if we're going to look at the power of praise, we can look at Psalm 22, verse 3. And we want to know why is praise powerful, and what gives praise its power. So if we look there in the ESV, it says, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." And in the King James Version, it says, "But thou art holy, O thou inhabitest the praises of Israel." So it means that he makes his throne on the praises of his people. Some other translations, like the Spanish one, will say, you live among the praises of your people. So it means that when we praise God, he is there. He makes his throne there. He is the center of our praise whenever we praise him. And the word that, the Hebrew word that is used here is Tehillah, which means laudation, and that's a synonym for praise. And how do we know that God really does what he says here, that he lives, that he makes his throne, or that he dwells amongst our praises? Well, if we look at Psalm 105, we can see that he remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. So he does not forget what he promises. Sometimes I promise somebody something, or I tell somebody, you know what, I'm going to do this, I'm going to help you out with this, and I forget. Maybe because I don't know if I didn't mean it, or maybe because I'm human. But God, he remembers his promises for 1,000 generations. So this is like many, many thousands of years. He will still remember his promises. So whatever God has promised you, if this is a truly a word from God, he will accomplish it. So this has also to do with faith. So this morning, if you know that God has spoken a word to you and he has promised you something, just be sure and rest assured that he will keep his promises. Why? For the sake of his name, because he does not lie. He is not like us. I don't have the verse on here, but this is Numbers 23:19. It says that God is not a man that he should lie or that he changes his mind. Maybe we say something and we decide, oh no, maybe I shouldn't, you know what, I will not be able to do this, or I make a promise, but in the end I have to pull back because I don't have the time or I don't have the resources to do whatever I promised. But God is not like that. He does not change his mind. He always keeps his promises. So that's why we know that he promises to dwell among us in our praises. He promises that. And how do we know? How do we know? We have to look at the evidence. And if we look at 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." When we praise him and he comes in the midst of us, there is freedom. There is, and it's not, it doesn't mean any type of freedom. The word here means liberty, which means it's not, we're not slaves anymore of whatever binds us. Of what were we slaves? We were slaves of sins. We were slaves of different other things. But when he comes into our lives, when he comes amongst our praise, we have freedom. We can feel the freedom. Rotten and I, we were visiting somebody this week, and we were praying for her. And then we saw in her face that she felt this prayer, that she felt some sort of relief.
Yeah.
When we were, after we prayed, when we went to visit this lady, she was, her face was very burdened. She was so trapped into all her problems. She's not a believer yet, but I'm sure she will come to believe in God and believe that he is her savior. We were praying for her, and suddenly I just looked at her face after we finished praying for her, and I know that God was there, and I know that God has touched her heart, because this peace, and she even said, you know what, after you said your prayers for me, I just felt different. So we hope that in the future, in the very near future, she will come closer to God, and that God will draw her in. If we look at Psalms 16:11, that's another evidence of what we find in God's presence. And there is fullness of joy in his presence. So whenever we are in his presence, there is no room for sadness. There is no room for burdens. We have to let them go, and he will help us letting them go, because there is fullness of joy. And we were just singing these songs, and I'm sure these songs were bringing us to either clapping our hands, lifting our hands, moving, putting a smile on our face, because there is joy in these words that we were singing. And not only joy, there's also great truth in the Psalms. So we want to look at some examples of people praising God in the Bible and experiencing God's power and victory after they've praised God. One of the examples that struck me the most as I was studying this is the nation of Judah. They were facing several armies, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and a bunch of other armies. And they told God, what are we going to do? We can't fight against all these people. And it's like us, you know, the big black, the big whiteboard, and then a few dots there. But we only see like the five dots. We don't see the whole big white board. And the same for these people. They were like, God, these armies are coming against us. What are we going to do? What did they do? Did they go and recruit more people? They just told God that, and God told them, do not fear. Why? Because the battle belongs to him. So what happened then, if we look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21? And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. So those who were singing were going in front of the army. They were encouraging the army. And what happened was that the Lord made these different armies rise against one another, and they destroyed one another, and God's people, they were saved. So this shows how the Lord fights for us when we trust in him, when we praise him, when we put everything in his hands. We tell him, Lord, we don't have anything left. We don't have any weapons left. We don't have any resources left. We don't have any strength left. We don't have any health left, Lord. We put it all in your hands, you know. The doctor said, there's nothing that can be done for you. I remember this testimony that Ken gave a few weeks ago of this lady. The doctor, they said, you know what, this is the end. There's nothing left, you know. Just go and rest and spend your final days wherever you want to spend them. And then she went back to the doctor and they said, you're completely healed.
Wow.
So, putting this in the context, I was thinking about Psalm 27 when I was reading this passage. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of our God. Some may trust in the powers of the politics. Some may trust in the power of finances. Some may trust in technology, but in who do we trust? We trust in his name. And why is it in his name? Why? Because his name has a reputation. His name, you know, if I say, you know, I know somebody, I know Chef Robson, for example. His name has a reputation, you know, either he's a really good chef or it's not a good name at all. So if we say we know somebody, it's by his name. He has a good reputation or he has a bad reputation, but we trust in God because we know that he takes care of his name, he keeps his promises, he takes care of his reputation, and he takes care of his people. Another example is in Acts 16. We can see in verse 25 to 26, Paul and Silas, they were in prison and for the sake of the gospel, and they were praising the Lord. And the prison gates were opened and all their bonds were unfastened. So we can read this, and it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were loosed. So we see that there was this physical freedom in this prison, but then that was not the only thing that happened after they praised. We can see that the prison keeper, the jailer, he was also saved, and his family. He came to ask them, if we read verse 30 to 34, he came to ask them, what must I do to be saved? He was going to take his life because he was fearing what he was seeing. He was seeing only the small dot. Oh, what's going to happen now? You know what? These people are going to run away from prison, and I was supposed to take care of them. And then he was going to take his life, and they told him not to. And then he asked them, what must I do to be saved? And they told him, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved and your household. So that same night, they went with him, and he and his whole family, they were baptized the same night. And then I like verse 34. He said, then he brought them up to his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. So there was rejoicing there after he got saved. So this was not only a physical freedom for Paul and Silas after praising God, but this was also a spiritual freedom for those around him. And we can also see that praise is also a result of witnessing a miracle or receiving a miracle. So in Luke 19, verse 37, we see that during Jesus' triumphant entrance in Jerusalem, the multitude, they praised God for the wonders they've seen. So it says here, as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitudes of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And then we see another example in Luke 18, verse 43, where Jesus heals a blind beggar. And once he is healed, he started following Jesus and praising him. And others who saw this miracle, they also praised God for this miracle. So we see that this is also some sort of expression of gratitude and acknowledgement of God's power. We're going to look now at James 5, verse 13. And it says here, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." That is what we just did this morning. We brought the needs of those who were sick, of those who were suffering, of those who have special requests and that they need prayer. "And is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." So we should also not forget the importance of prayer. That when we are suffering, sometimes we don't want to sing a song of praise, but then we should go and bring our burdens and lay them in front of God. And Psalm 34, verse 1 and 2, it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad." His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continuous praise. Even in trials and tribulations? Yes, why? We should rejoice even then. Because a reason for celebration should not depend on our circumstances. Our joy should come from knowing that we have been redeemed, we have been purchased, we have been saved. And maybe if this morning you cannot find that joy, I would like to encourage you with Psalm 51, verse 12. It says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." We should ask Lord this morning. If we don't have, maybe we feel that there are so many circumstances troubling our vision, troubling our soul, troubling our attitude, troubling our behaviors. We should ask God to restore this joy into me again. And I'm sure he will do it if we ask with a willing heart. And finally, we were studying the book of Revelation a few months ago, and I noticed, that there was continuous praise in his presence. We had the angels, we had the elders, everybody was constantly saying hallelujah to the one who sits on the throne. There was constantly praise in God's presence. And why don't we start? Because we know that this is the future. This is going to happen. Why don't we start today practicing our vocal cords, practicing our instruments, practicing our hands, clapping to God? Why don't we start practicing and rehearsing our songs that we're going to sing? So as we have the music group come and sing a last song, I would like to read the Psalm 100. It's a song for giving thanks. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." So this morning, let us make a joyful noise to the Lord. Let us boast in Him. Let us exalt His holy name. Let us give praise to the one who sits on the throne, the one who saved us, the one who delivers us from our fears, the one who heals us, the one who has given us the joy of our salvation. To the Creator of all things, to the Peace Giver, to the only wise King, to the Good Shepherd, to the one who fights our battles for us, and He also gives us the victory. He not only fights for us, but we are also victorious in Him. His mercies are new every morning. Let's stand up and sing. His love endures forever. If you don't know this whole song, if you can at least sing that part that says His love endures forever, you know, it would be wonderful. So let's stand this morning and exalt His holy name, because He is our King. Give thanks to Him, give praise to Him, and be a witness. Be a receiver of a miracle. Not only a witness, but a receiver of a miracle in your life. Of a miracle, because His mercies are new every morning and His love endures forever. Amen.